This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
And just like we said it would be, hour two starts right now. It's a Tuesday night. Studio C, I'm Clayton McKee alongside Kat Carlson.
Here I am.
Doug Wilkie, Al Perkins, rounding out our conference table. We've got wine, champagne.
Cheers.
You've got a beer. I'm drinking coffee. And in a minute, I'm going to have some champagne, too. Yeah.
Good. You're going to join me.
Well, I should. Bubbles make the show go.
I will go get you
well.
A glass.
Oh, God. Well, that'd be great. Would you?
I'll do it while she starts.
Okay. I start. Then she goes.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We're very busy here.
Okay.
Anyway, Marty Ryer has
Don't
the night
put us
off.
Out of order.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
This is September 18th, 2018, show 359. If you've missed the first hour, it was stimulating, and you'll have to listen back.
It was.
We've got more coming up.
I think my uncle's still in.
Especially when we were texting. That was the most stimulating part.
It really was. Here's headlines on a Tuesday night. Well, this isn't really going to surprise anybody, but it's a little lengthy, but we'll get through it. Imagine this. You have a tower in New York City, and you're building, and you're remodeling, and doing stuff, and you're dumbass, Donald Trump. He allegedly ordered an architect not to include Braille in the Trump Tower elevator panels quoting him, no blind people would live in this building.
Even
after being informed that excluding the tactile writing system is actually against federal law.
Yeah, exactly.
The alleged interaction was recounted by Barbara Ress, who led construction at the Trump Organization, in an opinion piece in the New York Daily News on Wednesday. This would have been last Wednesday. What's this, Trump?
I should hope it wouldn't be tomorrow.
No, it's no. We're not seeing into the future. We're good.
We're good. Okay, we're good.
But we're not that
crystal
good.
Crystal ball.
According to the report, noticing the small raised dots, he reportedly asked the architect, "What's this?" Who went to his office to show what the residential elevator's interior would be looking like. The architect said, "Well, that's Braille." Trump apparently demanded that the architect take the feature off of all of the elevators, and she says, well, we can't, because it's the law. Get rid of the goddamn Braille. No blind people are going to live in Trump Tower, he shouted across to her. Just do it, he says. Oh. The architect pushed back, making Trump yet more mad. Shocking, because he doesn't understand how anything works. So how any of this works. The future president also apparently called the architect weak, considered architects and engineers to be weak, unlike construction workers, and enjoyed tormenting weak people. He still does that. Trump ordered, quote, outrageous or just plain stupid ideas, both legal and illegal. Sometimes those lines were blurred, according to Rez. Trump, deep down, did not expect that the architect would take the Braille out. According to Rez, she brought up the incident, of which the date is unknown, because it drew a resemblance to absurd alleged exchanges detailed by investigative journalist Bob Woodward in his new book, Fear.
Yes.
Trump in the White House. And in an anonymous op-ed by a senior Trump administrator published recently
Pence.
In New York Times.
It was Pence.
So I can't imagine...
That's just so wrong in so many
you're
ways.
You're that stupid that you think that no...
It's stupid. No, it's not stupid.
It's hateful.
It's intentionally
discriminatory.
And discriminatory.
Right.
Here's something, too, when you were saying that. And I don't know that it may be a blind person. You know, maybe there are no blind people living there. But someone who lives there might have a blind mother or friend. A blind person may come there and need to use the elevator.
Maybe there's a Russian that's blind.
Oh, my God.
How many felonies can we commit in a lifetime?
I'm
it's
sure.
That's the game
staggering.
That we're playing at this point.
He's such an asshole.
But I couldn't believe that you were thinking you could remodel a building and just not have Braille.
You know, it's interesting too.
Or to be like out in the world and have never noticed
it's
Braille
everywhere.
On elevators.
And to not, and you know, you don't have to be a lawyer to
it's
know.
It's on drive
that
up ATMs
also,
too, which baffles
is, and
me.
You know what? The thing that blows me away about this is it's so linked to his other lack of knowledge about the world. Like, I'm not a lawyer, but I know that the Braille thing is the law.
Mm-hmm.
Like, doesn't the average person know that?
I would assume it's part of
and
the ADA.
This is the president of the United States. Yeah. Does not even understand how the ADA – he wouldn't even know what the ADA was.
Right.
It's just astonishing how stupid he is.
As a real estate developer, you should think that you would know that.
Ding. Thank you, Kat Carlson.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. Wouldn't
I'm very smart, thank you.
You are. Wouldn't you know that, though, right?
Yeah.
You're a real estate mogul. Right. Wouldn't you fucking know what it was?
Mm-hmm.
Do
oh
you know
God.
Why the
I'm
drive-up ATMs have it on them? Do you actually know why?
I actually don't.
No, why?
Presumably
why is that?
Because you could walk to them, too?
Well, that
and
would be one
reason. The person in the backseat.
No, I've always wondered.
No, that's the actual reason is because when they manufacture them, it's just easier just to make all of them the same.
Oh, because they don't know that which ones are going to be
right. That is really interesting.
They manufacture... Because I literally...
Sense.
That question was posed somewhere, and it was actually... stated by the manufacturer. Like, so we're not going to make ones that are just for this and that. We just make them all the same.
That is really interesting. So here's something I never knew. When I leave Total Wine, which is more than I like
you
to
admit.
You need
Braille.
I need Braille. No, when I'm going out with a have you ever left there with a grocery cart full of wine?
It's
the first question I would like to ask you that Al can relate to is,
not
have you
enough.
Left with a grocery cart from Total Wine? That just, you know, eliminated a lot of listeners, but
not our listeners.
Okay, so here's the thing. They have that copper-colored, mm-hmm. bumpy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And when you, by the way, when you have a case of wine and you go over it, yeah, I didn't know this.
Nerve-wracking.
It's totally nerve-wracking. It drives me crazy. No, and it's so loud. Yeah. And I got to say, the whiny part of me, I'm like, what the fuck is this all about? I was like, is it so the carts don't get away? And I was getting a big attitude about this. I'm like, why is this thing? And then I went home and Googled it, and they were like, it's to let the blind people know with their their cane,
approaching a thoroughfare.
And then I felt horrible.
Yeah.
So they don't walk into traffic.
Because
you'll notice.
Right. How did you know that already? I never knew.
Because
that.
I just do. But you'll notice.
Did you know that?
You'll notice.
Al, did you know that?
Wow. You will notice.
Oh, good. Okay.
You will notice that all of the corners in this city have been jackhammered out and replaced with a ramp and those little Braille bumps.
Yes.
So that's
exactly
part of the ADA.
Okay. Yep, that especially Donald Trump doesn't know about.
I didn't know what the grooves were for. I thought it was for cattle.
No,
and the
cattle
traffic
cousin.
When you cut
different.
The light now has an audio trigger.
That's
when
been
you
a
go.
Long time.
Yeah, I knew that part, but okay, but not Donald Trump.
Incidentally, to calm your nerves, your wine bottles are a lot more durable than you think they are.
Yeah, they are, because one time I had, when I got home, when I get in the house, I put it on the corner of the couch. And yeah. I didn't do it such a great job, and it fell off.
Yeah, it fell off.
And I almost had a stroke, but not one bottle broke.
But not one bottle broke,
one Cat Carlson.
Because they're very strong. They're very well engineered.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Kat, I'd like you to transition out of my Braille Trump Tower story into yours, whatever you're doing.
Well.
And I'm going to get you some champagne.
Oh, my God, that'd be lovely.
I really, I've got no segue for that. We're just going to dive in.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. There's a bumper crop of squirrels in New England. That's right.
Good eating.
The frenetic critters are frustrating farmers by chomping their way through apple orchards, pumpkin patches, and corn fields.
Pumpkin patches? But it's the season!
I hope they eat all that fucking pumpkin
spice. White women everywhere are panicking.
Yoga pants are at an all-time low.
Just running around in their little yoga pants.
Running amok.
Oh, well, the varmints are fattening themselves for winter while destroying the crops with bite marks. That's right, they're eating the pumpkins, they're eating the apples, they're raising some hell this year.
Oh my.
It's the worst I've ever seen, says Robert Randall. He's an orchard owner.
Mm.
What is a natural predator for a squirrel, I wonder?
BB guns.
Humans.
Cars.
BB guns.
Rats with cuter costumes.
How many do I need? Oh, he is. Well, all right.
Very nice. Yeah, Carlson, are you going to play
along? Well, sure. I don't want to be left out.
She should play along, too.
Don't leave me out.
Well, let's see if Al can open this one.
Yeah. Well, evidence of the squirrel population explosion is plain to see along New England's highways, where the critters are becoming roadkill. Natural predator number one.
Oh, I'll tell you.
The Buick.
Oh, we're going to do this.
Now, if you're wondering how
the
this...
Buick.
The Buick.
I just realized
that. Natural predator. A Buick.
Roadmaster. The Skylark car.
Thank you. Thank you. I wrote that joke myself.
Hey, wait. Well,
if you're wondering how such a thing could happen, I'm about to tell you.
Oh, good.
Last year, there was a bumper crop of acorns and other food that contributed to a larger-than-normal squirrel population this summer.
My worst nightmare.
Right.
Uh-huh.
All the squirrels, all the acorns, all the little baby squirrels.
People who think squirrels are cuter assholes.
Unfortunately, this summer there's not...
Oh, my God, Harrison. Fucking squirrels.
There's not as much food, so the squirrels are looking for nutrition wherever they can find it.
Who is it?
Including farms. Now, clearly you all know that New England is home to both red and gray squirrels.
Oh, of course.
Country and western. Both
traditional spelling.
They eat everything from beech nuts to acorns and berries and seeds, and apparently apples, peaches, high bush blueberries, pumpkins, and gourds.
Those fucking uppity high bush blueberries. You know what I mean? Nobody wants them around.
I mean, they're not even good in a pie.
In New Hampshire, squirrels have been raiding the cornfields and dragging the ears away.
Well, at least they're cleaning out the fields.
But do they yell out
cease
corn in?
They do in their little.
Of course. Well,
corn in.
The problem is the wasteful motherfuckers often just take a single bite and then move on. Which, of course, for your farmer, ruins the fruit. I can't sell.
It also is not good at a buffet.
Also not going to just take a bite and put it back.
I feel like anytime I'm at a buffet, there's a worry of squirrel bitten food appearing.
From four-year-olds.
I think buffet is Chinese for squirrel-bitten food.
Can I have the Jell-O, Mom? And they just put their hands in the Jell-O?
It's unclear how this is going to affect your life, but I thought you should know.
Oh, I feel better knowing.
You're welcome. Doug, back to you in the studio.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right. Sorry.
Wow. I realized that was a live remote broadcast from Cat Carlson.
That was, yeah.
So we're kind of coming back to something that's been an ongoing thing for a number of years, and it's about Bert and Ernie from Sesame Street.
No, can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street?
Yeah, sure.
Can you tell me?
It's just a block away. You can walk there.
You can just walk.
You can just walk.
There's the cutest picture of them too on here. So, the latest development, though, it's saying new life is breathed into a perennial debate this week when former Sesame Street writer revealed the writer of those two characters that not only did he consider the beloved characters Bert and Ernie to be a gay couple, he used his own relationship as creative inspiration. He published an interview,
Queerty
with Mark Saltzman, who worked on the show in the 80s and 90s, asking if he thought of Bert and Ernie as a gay couple. He said, "I always felt that without a huge," and I like this part, "I always felt that without a huge agenda when I was writing Bert and Ernie, they were," as Saltzman said, "they were gay. So I don't think I'd know how else to write them but as a loving couple." Saltzman was in a long-term relationship with another man when he joined the show. "That's what I had in my life, a Bert and Ernie relationship. How could it not permeate?" Saltzman told Queerty that even though the inspiration behind the writing was clear, he wasn't exactly open about it at work. "So I never said anything to the head writer. He just basically wrote the story. Editing for time." The organization behind Sesame Street has quickly stepped in, reiterating its longtime stance, "Bert and Ernie are just friends. As we have always said, Bert and Ernie are best friends." Sesame Workshop said they were created to teach preschoolers that people can be good friends with those who are very different from themselves. Even though they are identified as male characters and possess many human traits and characteristics, as most Sesame Street Muppets do, they remain puppets and do not have a sexual orientation. I want to talk about that.
Caveat.
Put a pin in that.
So, yeah.
Stick a pin in that.
So, that? It's been a back and forth thing. I'm summarizing now. It's been a long dispute. Bert and Ernie's relationship status also notably cropped up in 2013 when the New Yorker featured the pair snuggled on the couch, presumably watching the Supreme Court ruling in favor of.
That was a sweet illustration. I love that.
Very nice, right? So this is like nice ways that this is going. Frank Oz, who is credited with creating Bert in 1969, as well as originally performing as his character, tweeted Tuesday, "It seems Mr. Mark Saltzman was asked if Bert and Ernie are gay. It's fine that he feels that they are. They are not, of course." Interesting. And then response. Oh my God, I love this.
Apparently, I was allergic to
Oz. Went on though, but I like Oz. Kind of saved it though. He said, "But why that question? Does it really matter? Why the need to define people as only gay? There's much more to human beings than just straightness or gayness." When pressed by other Twitter users though about how he could contradict Saltzman's point of view, Oz doubled down. "I created Bert. I know what and who he is."
He's the voice of Bert. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not the writer. I think the writer would
I think they can both be right. I think a little bit. But
yeah, the writer and the person portraying them could have different interpretations.
That's here's the end. So we really have to stop talking about this. Tweeted, which I like, writer R. Eric Thomas. "They are Muppets. I can't possibly summon the energy to have a position beyond whatever." "Ernie did not throw the first brick at Stonewall." I knew you'd love that. But I like this sort of rejoinder. "But as others have pointed out, Sesame Workshop's denial of Bert and Ernie's relationship on the basis that puppets cannot have a sexual orientation," Miss Piggy and
Kermit, caveat,
"would seem to fly in the face of heterosexual romantic feelings expressed by other beloved Muppets." Lewis Peitzman of BuzzFeed tweeted, "I don't really care if Bert and Ernie are gay. They are. But I'm definitely over straight people telling me queer identity doesn't matter." What do you think?
No, I completely agree with that. That, like, you can't claim that there's no sexuality when
all the other ones are.
Piggy and Kermit are doing something like
really big
interspecies fornicating.
Yeah.
What's green and smells like bacon?
Oh my
Kermit's
god,
finger.
It's so funny. Have you seen the one I posted, the Dr. Seuss one?
We're looking for a sign.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Oh, the cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw speaking of Dr. Seuss and champagne. I saw
that quick, huh? That it just really took effect that quick.
It's the bubbles.
Sure.
I guess.
The bubbles. Right.
I saw a very fun Dr. Seuss quote. I don't know if it's Dr. Seuss, but I'm going to give it to him.
It's probably
someone
not.
Else
it was
did.
Probably Abe Lincoln.
Did it rhyme?
It might have been
Abe Lincoln.
Lincoln.
It's probably right.
Because I read it on the internet, so Abe Lincoln seems the obvious culprit. But it says, to be number one, you have to be odd. And I thought, what a fun play on math and a great expression. And
I
that's
love
the whole
it.
Thing. Like, yes, the person who does that acts the part can have a different interpretation than the person that wrote the part. You
exactly.
can have one intention than the person that plays it. We've seen 8 million people play every Shakespeare character for
right.
500 years. Everyone's done something different.
Right.
So, fuck it.
Well, Carol Spinney, yeah. who does Big Bird and has mm-hmm. done several other characters, he mm-hmm. does Oscar the Grouch as well. When he was originally given Big Bird, and this is in one of the documentaries, they weren't sure how to play it. It was just he was a big bird and he didn't know. And he made the decision that Big Bird was a 6-year-old. And he has always played that. He says it in multiple interviews. He's always, it's a child. He's
right.
very inquisitive, innocent,
That's
and
so
is always
sweet.
Looking to figure out stuff.
So I mean, there's always a different intent from how you play something
which
to
might
how it's
be
written.
Now, you know, might be important, like in terms of acting. Like that's an inspiration or an intent.
No. Big Bird never gets necessarily smarter. But, you know, he learns empathy. And he's always learning.
Yes.
Like, when
and
Mr.
as someone
Hooper
who spends
died,
a lot of money and time taking theater classes, I'm always interested in, like, what motivates people. Like
Me
what,
too.
Like
I am
and
too.
And before Johnny Depp completely sold out, I always wanted to know, like, okay, what people did you come up with for this? Because, you know, the Sleepy Hollow, he thought of Murder, She Wrote. He really did it as Angela Lansbury. Mm-hmm. He decided to play. So if you watch Sleepy Hollow,
really?
He decided to just do Angela Lansbury. No matter how it was written, that's how he was going to play Ichabod Crane.
No idea.
And then when he did Pirates of the Caribbean, he said he was Keith Richards meets, I can't remember who the other person
without,
was.
Oh, that's funny.
He didn't need to even tell me that one.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So it's kind of fun when you hear someone who used to like be all about characters and making up these really interesting
right.
things, and now he just seems to play the same thing with makeup all the time. But back in the day, I would always be like, okay, I want to know. Like, I want to see the interview. Like, who mm-hmm. did you decide to
And sometimes
pull
it's
through?
Not even famous people.
Right. It's just
like, the thing,
odd.
I watched Mike Myers on SNL forever. Linda Richmond is my favorite
it's his
character.
Mother-in-law.
I never
it's
knew.
A real person.
But all that time, I was like, God, what a genius. How did you create such a character? He didn't.
Right.
I thought it was mother-in-law.
His mother-in-law.
But we've
mother-in-law.
Talked about this because
yeah,
her,
his mother-in-law.
One of her closest friends, Linda, the real Linda Richmond.
Oh yeah,
whose
that's
name
so
is Linda Richmond.
Linda Richmond
is
right.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Right.
So Rosie O'Donnell just thought it was hysterical that Linda Richmond was her actual friend. Like, here's a character
right.
on SNL.
Right, but my
here's
friend
my
is
friend.
Linda Richmond.
She would have Linda Richmond on the
show.
Rosie O'Donnell show and do interviews. And the thing that kills Linda Richmond is she hates the smell. Rosie hates the smell of coffee.
Oh, wow.
And Linda Richmond always has a pot of coffee. It's coffee
right.
talk. It's coffee.
Coffee.
And she always has coffee brewing in her house, which Doug knows this about
like
my
your
family.
Family.
We
yeah.
always just had coffee
sure.
brewing.
There was never always, not coffee
there's
brewing.
There's never not coffee brewing right. at my family's house.
Right.
So it was just funny that, like, Rosie, you know what I mean? Like, how do you not like the smell of coffee? But coffee and talking. Princes and tides. It's about neither. Disgusting.
Princes nor tides.
As a point of order. Captain Jack Sparrow is Keith Richards and Pepe Le Pew.
Oh my God, that's even better.
No. Yeah.
Okay.
That is fantastic.
I can see the Keith Richards, but I guess I don't know enough about. I haven't
right
watched
in.
The movies enough to
the
catch
the suaveness. You know how Pepe Le Pew was always trying to seduce everybody.
So smooth.
He's so smooth that it's fake French.
Jenny
got
it. Kermit is porking Miss Piggy.
Yeah. So there's that.
Yes, he is.
Did
yes,
you know? Have you watched or caught? They revamped the Gong Show, and Mike
yes.
Myers is hosting it in
yes.
a full costume. At yeah, first, I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? Where did they get him? And my mom had to tell me.
I love when they put him in a costume.
She's like, he's a British guy that does the host the Gong Show now, and it's great.
Yeah, he's a funny guy.
Very funny guy.
When they give us Cheryl Lynn again, call me. All right, so it's my turn. Right?
It is turn. Yes, it's
allegedly.
Your turn.
So, you know, I have a fear of floods. You may not know this. That's not the headline, but I'm going to bring it up.
That's why you live 500 feet from the canal?
No, it's why I live 500 miles from the nearest source of water. Okay. Because mama is afraid of floods. I don't like just water.
Canal
I don't want
to
walk
through water.
Anything. Huh?
Canal. Seems to have water in it.
Right. It's a canal, though. I mean, let's be honest for the people that are thinking it's something grand canal, Christina.
It's a grand canal, Christina.
It's maybe 10 feet wide and about 4 feet deep. When it overflows, it's at 6 feet. We don't, right. You know what I mean? Like,
all right.
It ain't coming for me. But even after hurricanes... immediate threat of flooding goes away, North Carolina residents could face a host of potential health problems from the water brought by Flo. Flo.
Oh,
your friend, you
what,
know her.
And from what
the water brought
that
by Flo.
Water leaves behind. Mm-hmm. Here's why
poop.
Me and the waders are not walking into any water. In addition to the usual physical and mental challenges flood water can typically bring, there is a potential problem for human health that involves some of the state's key industries. Mm-hmm. We're talking the Carolinas.
Oh, pig shit.
Hog farming.
Yeah, pig shit.
And clean coal.
Coal. Right.
So, an earthen dam surrounding a hog lagoon. Is there a worse sentence ever been uttered out loud?
Can you say it again?
An earthen dam surrounding a hog lagoon.
Those are real things.
That's no. 17 nightmares
fact,
wrapped up into one.
If you watch question. Sharp Objects, that's they pulled the bike out
oh,
of.
That's
oh,
right.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Hog Lagoon.
Oh, my
Hog
God.
Hog Lagoon.
Was Brooke yes. Shields in that movie?
Yes.
Hog Lagoon.
Lagoon? She was. Yeah. They had to tape her hair to
sequel.
Her breast.
Mm-hmm. It was a sequel, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So she was never naked.
The Hog Lagoon.
But the Hog Lagoon was breached by floodwaters in Duplin County and in Sampson County, according to North Carolina Department of Environmental Quality.
They were really worried about this ahead of the storm.
NCSEQ. Secretary Michael Reagan, hog or swine lagoons? Now we're being fancy.
Classy.
Swine.
Put your pinky up when you say that.
Yeah.
It indubitably proves it that does. I know the difference between a hog
the
and
swine
a swine
lagoon.
Reduced. hog or swine lagoons are human-made pits. Well, of course they are. Or dugouts that store animal waste. The lagoons are meant to help reduce pollution, and the North Carolina Port Council says it's rare for lagoons to overflow. But there are reports of at least 7 lagoon overtops. This is all the wrong mm-hmm. Use of words I like. As they are also known in Jones and Pender County, the department said. There are 4 reports from the Department of those people earlier of hog lagoons being inundated by nearby bodies of water as well as in Jones County as of noon on Tuesday.
Goodness.
If anybody would like a visual on what this would be a hog farm, and uh-huh. those would be hog lagoons.
See the purple? That's all pig shit.
Yeah,
pig
it's all,
shit!
Right, and they've got them in a... Yeah, so when those runneth over...
So a lagoon is a lagoon of pig shit.
And
pig
I think,
shit.
Not, well, not what all I, lagoons. I mean,
in this
I think it's
context.
Fairly like septic field.
Gilligan's Island was
okay.
not in a hog farm.
So
I believe the shit in the lagoons are being treated and they use it as fertilizer.
Right.
Elsewhere, like but there's a sustainable process in it, but
okay.
in the meantime,
but it's still.
Sits in the
but if it escapes
I mean,
prematurely,
it's going to be delicious manure, and your high top berries and apples and pumpkins
oh,
are going to be
snooty
using
motherfucking
them.
High top berries.
Top, those mother this bitch.
bitch. You let those squirrels.
This bitch berry.
You let those fucking squirrels get into this shit. Wow.
wow.
I'm going to need more.
Next
of this,
thing you know,
sure.
you're going to have swine shit all over your
I'm
nuts.
Gonna,
the North Carolina Port Council.
How high is the water?
I'm calling
that's
it.
How high is that water?
Yeah.
My God.
But the North Carolina Port Council was interviewed one more time for this story, and they said that the lagoon breach in Duplin County was at a small farm, and an on-site inspection showed that solids remained in the lagoon.
Solids.
Well, thank you, good people of the North Carolina Port Council, for easing my troubled mind.
Turds just floating on by.
There was no mention if there was any solids being released from the 4 additional lagoons that were inundated by floodwaters. It is said that other 3,000 lagoons, 3,000 lagoons. I love pork. I am disappointed by the story.
Imagine how much bacon America eats. Like, that takes
meat.
A lot of pig shit.
Imagine how much bacon I eat. You don't even have to multiply by
300
million.
Do you have your
million.
Own lagoon? You might have to. You got a big backyard.
The Val Perkins Memorial Pig Shit Lagoon.
The whole family can enjoy it,
yeah.
really.
Kid friendly.
Don't
I'm going to have a grape
champagne.
That was probably grown
don't
in pig manure.
Otherwise known as Knott's Berry Farm.
All right, I'm just telling you, if you've been to Knott's Berry Farm in the last 10 years,
nope.
Swine Lagoon, pretty much sums it up.
It's a new ride. The new ride at Disneyland.
Yeah. Hog Lagoon. Hog Lagoon. Hog or Swine Lagoon. Welcome aboard. Plug your nose.
And that means that with vertical integration, then they can make a movie about it, a lunchbox, sure. The whole thing.
And Johnny Depp will sign up to be the head hog on Pig Mountain, let
the
me head, tell you.
Johnny Depp, the
What's
head
hog. What's your inspiration
hog?
For this,
Pepe Le Pew and...
Which...
Porky Pig. Yeah.
And that might be, we might be able to incorporate our shaved ham in that. Remember?
That be nice?
Remember that? Yeah.
Well, that would be the villain.
Nice. The villain is shaved ham.
I do not want to hear any more stories about your shaved ham, man. I've heard enough.
That's the villain.
I'm going to tell you.
So the North Carolina Pork Council interjects one more time to say that it will watch the situation closely.
Sure. With a glove.
We remain concerned about the potential impact of these record-shattering floods. We are continuing to assess the impact and expect to provide further updates later.
God, grammar.
What?
Punctuation is really important in these stories.
Hamilton! Not the musical.
Ham for ham.
Shaved ham.
Also concerned about the potential health threat of coal ash in the floodwaters. I fast-forwarded like 7 paragraphs.
Okay,
Coal ash. I don't know who Cole is, but I hear he's got a hot ass.
I don't know about your ass.
He's got a hot ass.
Coal miner's daughter.
I love the cut
I checked
of his
out mentally.
Gel.
Are we still on this?
Coal miner's daughter.
Look at her ass.
Loretta Lynn.
Look at her ass.
Joins the Pork Council for just a minute to comment.
God.
Coal ash is industrial water created by coal-burning power plants. Mm-hmm. Coal ash contains the heavy metals, including arsenic, lead, and mercury. But these motherfuckers won't vaccinate their children, but they're going to swim around in this
big shit.
There was a failure at one of the landfills containing coal ash at the Sutton plant in Wilmington, according to Reagan. Not Ronald Reagan, he's dead. He said his department was on location inspecting the area. Duke Energy, which owns the property, is also on site doing an analysis. Duke Energy spokesperson Aaron Culbert said the company calculates about 2,000 cubic yards of ash material was displaced from the landfill. The company said it is unclear how much of the water came into contact with the coal ash. We don't have any indication that the ash has gone to the cooling pond, she said. But she's going to continue to test.
They have a lot of bodies of water. They have lagoons and cooling ponds.
It's
and
a fucking swamp, the North Carolinas. So I'm done with this story, but I have to say a little personal anecdote. Spent a lot of the summers, visiting my godparents that lived in the Charlotte area.
Oh, that's lovely.
As a child. And then we would
They're
the North Carolinas. We would pick them up, put them in the car. They were the most entertaining couple. They fought the entire time, smoke like chimneys, and it was like watching an episode
I love them.
Remember that cartoon couple, the old couple that fights with each other? They have a really funny name, but they're
from the comics?
Like the newspaper?
Gosh,
newspaper comics.
My grandmother.
But they were really funny. So we would take them to the beach, and we would go every year to like Wilmington Beach, Curie Beach. Look up Curie Beach, because we spend most of our time. We did Myrtle Beach for many summers. All of our family spent time in Myrtle Beach, where this hurricane has hit. So it has come up. So then there's a movie made. There's a movie. Then there's a remake called Cape Fear that takes place in North Carolina, somewhere near the coast. Good. I'm like,
the Cleghorns?
I spent a lot of Cleghorns. I spent a lot of time in that region, and I was like, I've never heard of this Cape River stuff. So I'm like, oh, it must be a fictional place. Well, then imagine my surprise when I'm watching my hurricane porn, popcorn in hand, and they're like, the Cape River is overflowing.
My gosh.
So I'm like, where the fuck in this story is the Cape Fear River, and why have I never heard of it or been near it if it's this close to the coast? So it turns out Curie Beach, which is where we spent many of our summers and I enjoyed very much in Wilmington, has the ocean on this side. And then the other thing that we always loved was that when you're on Wilmington and Curie Beach, you kind of can watch the sun rise and set over both bodies of water. Turns out the body of water to the west is the Cape Fear River. Right. I spent most of my childhood on the Cape Fear River without knowing that it was there.
That
explains a lot.
It really does.
That really, now that we put this, you know, every time we put a piece together.
But yeah, aren't we doing ourselves a favor?
Bigger picture.
But I told Harrison many years ago, she may remember, that I always wanted to get a retirement home. Like, I wanted to retire to the Outer Banks of North Carolina because I found them so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
Rocacoke and Wrightsville Beach and all that stuff. And then Curie Beach and Wilmington aren't the Outer Banks, but they're, like, the first things that you hit on land. And she was like, oh, but a hurricane's going to knock them down. Ha, ha, ha. Well, it hasn't happened in like a long time, so I should buy now.
Yes.
Because I'm probably going to be dead in 30 years, which is a good long time to enjoy property.
You'll be dead before the next big
property.
One.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. So, there you go. So why Mama, when it floods, stays inside. You're not going to find me doing rescues of your animals or walking along with a boat because there is swine shit and coal ash and arsenic going by, motor oil, tires, and every dog poop motherfucker that hid it behind something instead of throwing it in a proper trash receptacle.
Oh, sure. Don't give the people false hope, though. Like, it could be a beautiful 72.
Live in the desert.
Outside,
that's my motto.
And you're still not saving my animals.
No.
Like, let's put this into perspective for a second. It's not the hurricane that's stopping you from saving my animals.
See, all right,
she always clarifies
just call
it.
Me to the carpet,
exactly. She just did.
I'm just going to call. I'm gonna read you.
I like
as they say.
To hear you say coal ash and trash receptacles all
coal
in it.
Coal ash and trash. Skeptical.
Clayton McKee, get us out of this.
The actual strip was called the Lockhorns.
Oh, thank God.
And this is one because my grand and oddly, in the comic strip, the female character was named Loretta, which is my mother's name. I think you tossed the salad the wrong direction, is what this comic strip says.
Because she was always a terrible cook. But I mean, they don't really look like my aunt and uncle, my godparents, but I have to tell you, I just see these two.
And think of that.
And think they were the most entertaining two humans that have ever walked the face of the earth. Constantly funny. Constantly funny. And he played the organ. Not his.
Not the skin flu?
I'm going to need more champagne.
Yes. I think we should.
The bubbler now.
I have a feeling that doing the show on champagne
is always more fun. It's always better. If we can get a champagne sponsor, I'd love it.
Oh, my God. I'm on it.
Listeners, literally.
Literally. Yes.
Yes.
Jason Carlton, we need more. We need
a champagne
Brown
sponsor.
Brown Foreman, we need you to sponsor.
I have two little stories before I go to my next story. Two things. So when I'm at the bar working in the morning, usually I have no sound on, no music or anything. I just listen to the quiet of everything.
You're
listening
focused.
To the sounds of silence.
But I realized that I could go to the or 24 hour.
You can go anywhere
feed.
You want to. Did someone say you can't?
No, I have a strap and everything.
She wears a helmet.
No. So I went strap to our 24 hour feed and I was just listening back to the show because I needed to listen to how a break is now going because I've reprogrammed it. Anyway,
it
was the show.
I'm nervous now.
The whole bar, it's just me.
Oh, no.
It's just me in a vacuum or a mop or whatever the fuck.
That's a nightmare.
And it's our it's our show playing, you know, all over. Well, it was the shaved ham episode.
Oh, my God.
So I start laughing.
Oh, my God.
Listening to all of us laugh about it, which was just cracking me up. But one of the shows.
I think Al was gone that week.
But one of the shows that
was
still playing.
Were you here for shaved ham?
One of the shows that was still playing, Doug, was the one that you were in where you were talking about. We had the topic about the people who have these big yachts and their staff and all the cleaning and all the bullshit that they go through, right?
Yes.
But I wanted to share this with you. Ever since that story.
Yes.
And when you brought up the thing about how they carry flashlights around for mirrors.
Yes.
In a fucking day that goes by, I don't walk by a mirror in that bar and make sure.
And see your own ghost?
I do. And it's thin. It's a thin camera that's on
it,
too.
Yes, exactly. He's got Oprah's thin camera.
But I use my flashlight to see.
Oh, my God. I love this. You don't know how much this means to me.
I do it every day.
So it's in your head.
Oh, my God. We thought the women that did this were victimized, but it's okay for our good friend Clayton McKee.
Oh, no. I love it because
it
feeds into his OCD. This is what I love.
I'm not in water.
No, they're victimized. This is his OCD being fully realized. Oh,
fully.
God, I love it.
Oh, and anytime we can poke Marnie or this one into better OCD.
Oh, I love it. Clayton,
both
I love thank you.
I do.
For, thank
I,
you.
And
both
I,
hands.
I think of you every day, but I'm
oh
like,
my
I
God,
have to
I
tell
love
the story
this.
On the air.
I'm so happy right now.
It's not the boss that's making him do it. It's his insanity.
No, it's his choice.
I shine that flashlight up and there's a smudge.
God.
There's
I'm so happy right now.
If the maid is doing this shit because she's crazy, that's one thing. The boss is making her.
You know, I don't know why we're stigmatizing attention to detail here. Listen, can we talk about this for a minute?
I love this.
No, it's not a stigma. I love it. I love
it. First of all,
I have OCD.
Actual OCD is a very, like, crippling disease,
it's
and
helpful.
It's a problem.
It gets the house clean.
The people that say, oh, my OCD can't handle this, are just fussy.
Okay. I want
to
agree with Kat right here, right now.
Is a good thing.
I think
attention to detail is.
I'm on your side,
and
here.
I am.
But
and Kat,
gonna advocate
Kat,
for
just so you know, I am something that I very well. I think I hide it pretty well, but I have a lot of OCD going on because my mother has it. Really, so it's genetic. But I think I really? Hide it. But
really? It's genetic?
No, it is.
Okay.
No, it actually
we've never
is.
Met her, so we'll never be sure.
No, right. It, all seriousness, it is. It's yeah. It can be genetically.
I thought it was just gay.
Well, there's an overlap.
I didn't
on the Venn diagram, there's an overlap.
There's
right?
two semi-distinct
So I just
circles.
Want you know, I'm glad that Kat pointed this out. There is, because this drives me crazy too. There's a lot of people like, oh, my OCD, and they don't have OCD. No. And it is actually, it is shaming, like, a truly serious
well, it's,
condition.
I want to bring this home. Can I bring this home? Can I bring it home?
You can.
Is this the gluten allergy of OCD?
Oh, no, this is. This
but you
is,
know what I mean? Where like no. you're gonna claim no. it, but you're not really suffering.
Yeah, exactly. I hate that.
You're just crazy.
Somewhat, yes.
Just generic.
But it's. I think it's self-deprecating, like a positive quality. Like if you have if you have an attention to detail and you like things to be done completely or you like things to be done in an organized orderly way.
Oh
like,
no, that's a
that's
good
not
thing.
Obsessive compulsive disorder.
No, it's
disorder.
Not.
That's self deprecating
right.
humor.
No, you're right.
Of a disease that's not actually
right.
yours. You know what I mean? Like if I'm fussing around for fingerprints, that's not OCD. That's trying to get the fucker clean.
And true OCD, when people have that diagnosis, it interrupts and disrupts your life.
Well,
like people are
I'm
in therapy.
Not there. I'm not right. there.
Like I mean, I know we've been kidding around, but this
no,
that's
from
it.
Doing other
what
things.
She just said is debilitating.
Goes here, I'm over
so
here.
These are people who have lost a job because they went in and they're like, we are going to fire you. If you and they're like, I have to go home and turn the iron off. Like,
right.
that's really sad, actually.
But I will you know. Say, in my own defense of this, that I don't have the compulsive part of OCD, but I have the obsessive part.
Oh, sure.
And it does keep me from doing stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I will obsess
mine
over
does
something,
too.
Like, for...
Does Is it worse when you're fatigued? Because mine gets
oh,
at
yeah.
mine,
but
I
it does,
get
it does
the
spiral.
Debilitating.
So I don't have the clean the mirrors, alphabetize anything.
No, I don't either.
But I
do
will
like
tell you that
things.
I spent 4 days
you
awake.
Do? I do.
Yeah, I spent 4 days awake just going New York, New York. It's a hell of a town. The Bronx is up. The battery's down. It would not leave my head. Like so, I have that part of it. Where like
people riding home in a car.
Yeah.
So mine isn't the alphabetizing or putting things in order. Mine is the like this missed thing like. I can read a if I'm reading a magazine and I flip and I'm flipping along and then I flipped and 2 pages went by. If I'm in that state, I'm like I have to go back because I don't know what the page might have been that I missed.
Right.
And this is I'm over disclosing right now. I have actually when I'm in the throes of it, if I've like been driving down the freeway and sometimes I feel like I have to read everything on the billboard. I'm not going to be okay.
Driving is your priority, Doug. Driving.
Yeah, I know. Safety. But I read it, and sometimes I can't get all of it. And usually I can keep going. But there have been, I'm admitting this right now, there have been a couple of times where I'm like, I think I need to like pull off
circle
and drive
back.
And so I can make sure
you realize the billboard's coming
that
up
I
again.
Saw everything on there. And that's when I know, okay, we've gone too far now. So I'm glad you brought this up is it is really a real thing, but also people just being neat and organized is not OCD.
It's a way to self-deprecate to make up. For
it is, yeah.
But if you
to make up for wanting things the way that you want them, I don't think there's any shame in saying that I want to be this detail oriented.
There is not.
I want to alphabetize the jams in my cupboard. All right, good.
I feel like we've done some great work here tonight.
Yeah, solving problems.
Solving problems.
So the other thing I was going to say is I
had to respond.
We need to work. Somebody needs to work on this.
I've
decided that the support group for OCD people.
Yes.
I want it to be an acronym, but the acronym
so
is...
So do they.
Is,
yes.
No, but the acronym is going to be STIGMA, and I want the name of the support group to be STIGMA. So we need to figure that out.
Oh, we need to figure out the words.
Right.
We presented an answer without a problem.
Right. So you guys can
answer. Oh, we can do that.
Whose story is it?
I think it's still yours.
Well,
you had two things.
A bunch of shit to talk about.
And then a story, so I think it's yours.
All of a sudden you were pretending it was your show.
The two stories was I listened to the show and laughed at shaved hair.
I'm so happy right now.
Then I thought about the OCD of the mirrors.
Yes.
So now it's your turn.
So now it's my turn for a story.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all I needed to know, people. That's all I was almost home, Mrs.
We're here to help.
Nancy McKeon's on Dancing with the Stars. That makes entertainment shorter. So if you want to find out what a dyke's doing 40 years later.
We're going to catch up.
I don't think she's a lesbian. I think she just played one on TV.
Wait, who are we talking about?
Nancy McKeon.
Oh, I think she was a
TV's original lesbian.
Joe Polnicek.
We still love her. No.
I get Cat will
confirm. As the spokesperson for all of my people.
Thank you. Is she a lesbian for reals?
As the no, I don't think so. She's not.
Okay. I thought she was.
I have another story that's pertaining to what you just said.
As the spokesperson for all my people.
Learning a lot tonight.
So, we still love her.
Oh, yeah.
So this day, all of us.
All of us.
Okay.
Yeah, go find a lesbian and just say Nancy McKeon.
Yeah, right.
Just go say Nancy McKeon and watch them all go, oh.
She's like Gina Shock, the drummer from the Go-Go's. All lesbians know who the drummer for the Go-Go's is.
Right. Okay.
They know all the rest of them, too, but they really know the drummer.
Somebody was a delivery driver or something, came to the bar the other day dropping off something, and I was there, and I was listening to the show on the sound system. And he's like, well, what are you listening to? And I explained what it is. It was my own show, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, oh, well, that's kind of interesting. I don't know anybody who does podcasts. That's kind of cool. So he asked about what we did and what we talked about, yada, yada, yada. And I said, he goes, well, how many people are on the show? And I said, well, there's two girls and two guys. And he goes, oh, that's good. At least you get a female's perspective. I'm like, well, yeah, out of the guys.
Again, as it the spokesperson like for lesbians. Right?
But it's funny count. That he immediately...
I'll bring you the Home Depot reports.
I'm like, no, the two girls are...
Now, live from Home Depot.
Yeah, right, right. We're going to go to Cabela's live with Marnie in just a minute. That'll be exciting.
I didn't know she fished.
I feel like she wears plaid shirts. Who cares?
Don't all lesbians fish in a way?
Rachel Maddow does. She
oh, my
fishes.
God. And isn't that weird about the whole fishing thing? Because the financial one, Susie Orman, she said, when I retire...
Jackets.
She's like, when I retire,
people,
I'm going to hang a sign called Gone Fishing. Like, she's all about fishing. And I was like, okay, I guess that's like a lesbian thing. And then Rachel Maddow was like, come back from my vacation. We went fishing. I'm like, what is it with lesbians and fishing?
Don't know.
What
well,
is
with all that?
That
free time from buying glassware, what else are you going to do?
Right? This is why I don't fish, because I drink out of proper glassware.
I spend all my
time. Oh, by the way, we need a... For Clayton, for champagne and proper glassware. Thank you so much.
And for Carlton, for bringing the champagne.
I wasn't born in a barn.
I know that.
Near it. I mean, I can see the barn. All right. I feel like we've covered this story before, but we're going to do it again.
Okay.
Why not?
A driving lesson went off the deep end in Maryland when authorities car jumped the curb, crashed through a fence, and landed in a swimming pool.
Was it filled with hog or swine poop?
That would be so much better.
Bring it home, Mrs. Garrett.
In Maryland.
I was almost home.
Jenny's a lesbian.
Montgomery County Fire and Rescue spokesman Pete Pringer tells the Washington Post the driver and passenger were uninjured Saturday, albeit soaking wet when it was all over. He says the occupants were a man and a woman in their 50s or 60s. I don't know. Did you talk to them? How do you not know that? But it's unclear who was behind the wheel.
I'm going to rescue. How old are you? 60? Gotta go.
It was unclear who was behind the wheel when the driver became a diver. He says one was teaching the other one how to drive that afternoon.
Good job.
Wow.
There, buddy.
Is Roadhead involved in this story?
I hope so.
Really?
That's fantastic. One was teaching the other how to drive. We're in a swimming pool.
Yeah, so didn't work out so well.
Whose fault is it, really?
The car landed in the North Creek Community Center
what
pool,
could possibly go
which
wrong?
Was oddly closed already for the season.
Well, thank heavens.
Because it's after Labor Day.
The children don't need to see that.
The pool closes on Labor Day weekend.
Pringer says the man and the woman were standing poolside, having extricated themselves from the car by the time rescuers had arrived. No further details were immediately involved.
Oh.
That's not going to get cleaned up by the skimmer.
No.
We're going to need a bigger net.
Yeah. Honey, I think there's a car in the bottom of the pool.
Is that a Celica?
Have you been to Zumba? Oh,
you know who didn't need a bigger net? Stormy Daniels.
Oh, yeah, little net.
Now, I'm going to tell you a little story.
Okay. I'm going to listen from the kitchen. I'm going to go.
If many Americans... who might use social media, woke up this morning to find that Toad, a beloved video game character from Nintendo, seemed to be trending.
Mm-hmm.
Why are we talking about Toad? What's going on with Toad? Right? Well, the story begins with The Guardian publishing excerpts from Stormy Daniels' forthcoming tell-all book, Full Disclosure.
He got a small cock.
Well...
Oh. Worse, I'm just guessing at the title.
Worse. Yeah, no. The book is called Full Disclosure.
Oh. Yes.
It's about her alleged affair with Donald Trump. The book apparently contains graphic description of a sexual encounter with Trump. Don't we have something to look forward to?
Oh, God. I don't think I can.
Including,
you're not going to say it, are you?
No, you're about to.
Oh, no.
She's going to read it aloud.
Oh, no.
I'm going to say it out loud.
Thank you.
My mother is
going to need that.
Yeah. It's medicine.
Including a detailed description of the president's penis.
Oh.
Can't do that.
You're welcome.
The little soldier.
I'm about to quote it.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm ready.
Are you ready?
Yeah. That was my almost
This is like the greatest thing ever.
Stop. Mama sees you.
Oh.
All right. Quote.
I was going to
It has a huge mushroom head.
Oh.
Like a toadstool.
Huge, really?
I lay there, annoyed that I was getting fucked by a guy with Yeti pubes and a dick like the mushroom character in Mario Kart. End
this is
quote.
Fantastic.
Without the high score.
I'm liking it more than I thought I would.
There's another one.
Though the book also contains mentions of Daniel's impression that Trump never wanted to be president and of her $130,000 hush agreement.
Wait, he told her? Wait, I'm sorry. I blanked out there. He was telling her he never wanted to be president?
Correct.
Yes. Oh, wow.
Because he never wanted to be president.
No, I know, but telling her, that's wow.
Well, why wouldn't you tell your hooker? If you're going to tell anybody that you don't want to be president, wouldn't you tell your hooker?
That is good advice.
I guess.
That's why I would tell first.
Okay.
Really?
That's all right.
Really, that's
your
I like that the hooker's on your list.
First of all.
I'm liking it.
Well, hooker, you already told us. What's second of all?
Right.
Jenny threw up a little in her mouth. Yeah, so did I.
Oh, my God.
For those of you.
Meowcow, thank you. I just puked out my soul.
For those of you who have never touched a Nintendo console in your life, Toad is indeed a little mushroom man whose mushroom cap was confirmed to be part of his head. It's not a hat. It's part of him. And, you know, well, he's an odd little fellow. Toad doesn't really deserve to be part of this discourse. He's a perfectly fine playable character in Mario Kart.
Playable character.
Mm-hmm. Personal character aside, though, the Toad news has prompted some upset from people who have never wanted to imagine.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Including... God. The cast of this fine.
Yeah.
Is this what you're talking about?
That's Toad. Well, that's a level up mushroom, but similar.
It's a level up mushroom. What is that? Use that in a sentence. Get your level up mushroom out of me.
So what do I need?
No, just Google Mario Kart Toad.
Mario Kart Toad.
Cart with a K.
Your word is cow. Can you use it in a sentence? Spell the word cow.
Again,
that's fantastic.
For those of you who have never touched a Nintendo console,
I actually like that more than I thought I was going to. That whole thing, I was afraid.
As you should be.
But now, yeah, I get it.
But
he's just a piece of shit.
But he's trying to tell you he's unclenched.
Yeah.
My talent for delivering a story with wit and cynicism and a little bit of charm has won you over.
So I would agree with that.
There's Toad.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And then there's the other Toad.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I have to agree with what you just said, Cat Carlson.
Cat Carlson, it's okay to refer to me by my full name. Many people do.
Cat is.
Many people do.
A very good storyteller.
Yes, she is.
What did you say? A little bit of... How did you say it?
No, she said
wit, cynicism, and a little bit of charm.
Yes.
Yeah. A whisper of empathy.
A whisper of empathy.
A little je ne sais quoi.
A little collage.
Avoir l'enfant.
Joie de vie.
Your hog swine.
Have you ever thought about reading to kids at the library, but not that story that you just read.
Yeah, not that story.
Because you were good at storytelling.
I did that
when my kids were little. When my kids were a lot younger through elementary school, I spent a lot of time in both of their classes, volunteering and reading stories and helping, and whatever. Yeah.
All kidding aside, storytelling is really a skill. Mm-hmm. It's
very nice. It turns out the skills that you learn in bartending are very helpful in kindergarten.
Yes.
Same.
Mm-hmm. Same.
Yeah, we've discussed this at length.
CBC.
Yeah. Hands to yourself.
Yikes.
Wait, don't fall down.
That's an important one. One person in the bathroom at a time.
Oh, my gosh.
Same song.
Thank you, Liza.
Thank you.
Oh, we haven't heard from Liza in a while.
Oh, my God. That was like music to my soul.
We really haven't heard from Liza in a while. How's she doing? Do we know?
She's fine.
Is she?
But we're waiting for the back half of Arrested Development because it's the first season of Arrested Development without Liza. But the whole season was about Liza, so it's very disappointing.
Interesting.
So you're waiting for the payoff, like, show me Liza!
Nicole Kidman!
Bye, Harrison. See you Saturday, Friday? Bye. Text me what day you're showing up. What day am I seeing you? Not here.
Okay.
Oh, sad.
But show me what day we're going to
show me on the doll when you're coming in.
Yeah, right. Show me on the doll.
Whatever.
All right, next.
All right, so I have a serious one, but I have two really short ones.
It's okay. We can do serious. Okay. We're a roller coaster of emotions.
I'll put on a different hat. Two short.
I'm going to drink some
just
more of
two short
hopefully
ones.
Not a toad hat.
We don't even have to talk about them. I just need you to hear it out loud.
Okay.
Virginia man accused of rubbing produce on buttocks and putting it back on shelves.
How is that serious?
No, I have a
it's
serious
a real,
one.
It's a real
we're doing
style.
The funny first. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's like, very serious. No. Listen.
It really puts the gross in grocery.
No. I was on board until then.
Remember, everything's a dildo if you're brave.
It is a pun chair.
A pun too far, sir. A pun too far.
The suspect allegedly put the tainted produce back on
tainted?
The shelves.
That's where you
yes,
rubbed it?
Yes, exactly. It's getting better.
I hope he was wearing basketball shorts. It makes that a little easier.
He was seen by employees picking up the produce, pulling down his pants, rubbing the produce on his buttocks.
Under the pants. That's not right.
But where else would you rub it?
Well, just on the pants.
Well, you're not going to get the feel for the skin.
According to the police report, store employees had to destroy several pallets of produce, presumably tainted.
Okay. Now, I have a problem with this.
With the top layer.
Your fruits are washable, people.
They are. And they have been out among squirrel shit.
Oh, my God.
Shit.
Cat, wait,
there's all kinds of rat shit on them and all kinds of things. They destroyed them.
This is perfect. Cat, hang on. Although a police spokesman told NBC Washington that she did not know what type of produce Johnson allegedly defiled, a police report mentioned it was fruit.
All that shit is washable.
Now this
and it sits in warehouses full of rat shit. You should wash your produce anyway.
People's shit that like, from their hands because they were picking it in the
or
field.
Or from the hog farm.
Yeah. From the hog lagoon.
The hog lagoon.
Officer.
Full circle.
My God.
Lagoon.
So the feces is coming out tonight. Clayton, this one's for you.
Oh.
Cat doesn't get the cream but does get a bag full of narcotics.
Oh.
Police I like that he's doing a double play over here.
Police in Bristol.
Pray continue.
Southwest England said that the feline's owners found it curled up in its bed next to a plastic bag containing packets of suspected heroin and cocaine.
Like you do.
Look what the cat dragged in. Oh!
What's her name? It's the Amy Winehouse of cats.
Oh my gosh.
The
Wausau Bend.
A great result in St. Paul's.
Amy Winehouse.
When a resident's cat brought this in during the night, it added the owner got a bit of a shock, but called us straight away. The police.
The cat walked in like just open wide eyes like this.
I'm awake!
In this story, there's actually a picture of the cat on the couch holding
the narcotics.
Yeah. Like you do.
And so the police service team's Twitter account, I love this. I love how fun serious people are on Twitter, right? They lightheartedly suggested that it should forget police dogs and start training up police cats.
Yeah.
So my serious one.
My pussy picked up a bag of opioids.
Because this really irritates
the shit
out of me.
That happened one time.
So, Al, I think you saw my post on Facebook about Superintendent Diane Douglas wants to have creationism taught in Arizona schools.
Oh, of course she does.
Which is fucking crazy. So she hired some nut job that believes that
I thought we were done with her. I thought she was out of here, though.
No, okay, so that's interesting. She's voted out, but she's serving out the last year and so of her thing. And so while she's doing it, she's going to destroy Arizona. So she hired this nut job that thinks that the Earth is 6,000 years old to make curriculum recommendations for Arizona. And one of the suggestions is removing any wording about evolution because she's fucking crazy. Texas, though, not to be outdone, has now decided the Texas Board of Education votes to remove Hillary Clinton and Helen Keller from the state's curriculum. Because, you know, neither one of them did anything important.
What did Helen Keller ever do to you?
So, told bad Hillary jokes, I'm
she
guessing.
She sure didn't.
So the Board of Education voted to remove several historical figures. This is for elementary school kids. They're claiming that it's a time issue. There's only a certain amount of time for third graders to hear about
So we can
things.
Fit in Noah's Ark, but we can't
no,
fit in
that's
Helen
it. Oh
Keller.
My God, that's the punchline. So that is the punchline of where this is all going. So
sorry.
High school students had formerly been required to learn about Clinton as the first woman to become the presidential nominee of a major political party. Keller, an icon of the disabled community who became an activist and author despite being deaf and blind, was taught as part of the state's third grade social studies curriculum.
About women's suffrage. Doesn't she come back because of
I
women's
think so.
Suffrage? And that's why Woodrow Wilson hated her.
I don't know, but that feels right. Kat will find out for us. If Helen Keller was an important historical figure when I was in school, and she was, then she still is today. Clinton is the first and only woman to be the presidential nominee of a major party in U.S. history. Enough said. So, let me see if there's more.
Yes, she campaigned for women's suffrage, labor rights, socialism.
Excellent, Al. I did not know that. This is the part, though. That is fantastic. I didn't know that about her. I just learned something.
I'm team Helen Keller.
Yeah.
Okay.
Lies My Teacher Told Me. There's a textbook called Lies My Teacher Told Me that talks about, I believe that's the name of the textbook. Somebody could feel free to Google that. It is about the problems with teaching history to children. And it is a, it's a big history because there's an age where children can't handle ambiguity. So you can't have Washington. That's his Jewish friend.
Okay.
George Washington's Jewish friend. But George Washington. He was bad with women. I mean, you really couldn't trust him. Washington can't be the father of our country and own slaves.
Yeah, it's too
like,
much for
it's
them.
It's too much. It creates a thing. So you have to create these perfect people. And ambiguity comes into so much of our history. We can't be the greatest nation on earth and also have enslaved people and done Japanese internment camps and done genocide and wiped out the native population.
And yet Germany teaches that to their children, and they seem to be doing all right.
Oh, it's because you forget to talk into this side.
Okay. Sorry. Oh, there we go. Sorry, Jenny. Thank you.
And you do that through the course of the show where you feel like it's the...
And you play with the microphone more than anybody ever.
I know, because I'm convinced that no one hears me, and then I hear that people don't.
Because
so that's why.
Because during the course of the show, you try to talk into the tip.
Okay, got it.
But you got to go for the chef.
Clayton warned me about that.
Go for the chef.
Yeah. That's right.
So anyways, Lies My Teacher Told Me, I think is the name of the book.
Is exactly what it's called.
It is one of the most fantastic reads, and I happen to read Wicked right afterwards, where you get an ambiguous character of is she good or is she bad? And it's frustrating to read a book where your antagonist is ambiguous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you don't know if she's doing things. Does she turn him into the scarecrow for good or for evil? The book never addresses it. Do you like or do you hate her? Is she fucking with people's lives? Is it like the road to hell is paved with good intent? Or is she saying, I can save you, I'm going to do this? The book doesn't address it. The musical fixes those problems. But it's an interesting book to read, and it brings up Helen Keller a lot because Woodrow Wilson... famous racist, world famous roaster. Mm-hmm. No, that's Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers. Thank you very much.
Similar. But he has all these problems. But he was the man that brought us all the racism, and he is responsible for most of the Confederate statues coming back into the country. And it's, if you ever wonder, why do they all come back between like 1915 and 1920? It's because of Woodrow Wilson. But he also went to Booker T. Washington's funeral because he was the most prominent African American of the age.
Right.
So he had to go and show. It's weird to do it, but Helen Keller has a big part in that book.
I love it.
Lies My Teacher Told Me, because she's not just the woman that learned to say water into someone else's.
That's why I was laughing so hard earlier when Kat was doing that.
Yeah,
on her
but she's also this famous suffragette.
Because you watch the movie when you're in like
And the movie the movie stops when she asks for water and finally gets a cool glass of water at 7 years old. Her story continues for decades.
Sure.
But because it leads to political ambiguity of is she a hero?
I think they do an epilogue about her like school.
Yeah.
So this actually makes more sense to me now of why they would want to remove her.
Right.
Not because of the
it's the suffragette part.
The water. But
suffragette.
The suffragette. Okay.
Jet!
So I'm glad I brought this up because I just learned about why they wanted to kick her to the curb, which I could not understand. Because this
ties
is, of course,
right
Texas
into
Republicans.
Clinton weighing white, wearing white to her thing because the white was the color of
the
suffragettes.
She's in white. Can you see? Look, the story put her in white.
Yep.
You're so smart. This part's for you.
The greatest
about what
book I've ever read, Lies My Teacher Told Me.
What they're taking out or what they're putting in. And taking out. So among other changes, board also voted to remove Thomas Hobbes and reinserted Old Testament figure of Moses in a high school government unit on individuals whose principles of laws and government institutions informed the American founding. That's debatable. Reported the Morning News. The vote also reinserted the phrase Judeo-Christian, especially biblical law. I have a huge problem with that. In a section on political, philosophical, and religious traditions that influenced the founding of the United States.
So,
there we go.
And it turns into a hate crime when I say their names. Velshi and Rule, is that their names?
Yeah.
Velshi and Rule discussed this, and Rule lost.
Stephanie
Rule
I love when she goes off.
She lost her
she
mind.
She yells a lot. Have you noticed that? She yells.
Why do I not know who these people are?
MSNBC in the morning.
Oh, that's why.
Just watch it all. Just turn it on and never turn it off.
Velshi comes in and has his own show later. But
3 Eastern.
But they're. I think they both come from the financial sector. I think they're both...
yes, they are.
They are both
they're
from...
They're money honeys.
CNBC.
Yeah, they're from CNBC, the money part of the stocks and stuff. So, like, they're the wrong ones to fuck with that money. But as they were talking with us, and Velshi said something about, well, you know, Moses, the Ten Commandments, that does kind of play into how our laws were based. Like, that's not...
yeah.
That's not an unheard of thing. And she was like...
she lost her fucking shit,
I got a
huh?
problem with this whole yeah. thing. She's like, no. We're not going with Moses to how we got to
no.
the Declaration of Independence.
No.
Not happening.
We borrowed that from France.
Right.
It's not, it didn't start with Moses.
And they borrowed from us. God. As we've learned from Hamilton, there's a lot of back and
team
forth
effort.
There.
Team effort.
Effort.
Oh, well, look at Anant's lesson.
Team.
And I also...
that's
actually,
yes, that's
I just actually Anant, that is true.
Stephanie,
Anant, everything leftover tastes better.
I'm sure it's out there.
Not everything.
I'm sure it's on video
just
because
about.
I believe somebody made a meme out of it. But Stephanie Ruhle was hosting, Ali Velshi was off one day. She was hosting the morning segment alone, and somebody from the Trump administration was on there defending the economy. And the whole thing was, he says, well, how many, she goes, what is the, I forget what it was it the GDP or whatever thing that she yeah. was citing? And he said, well, it's at blah, blah, blah. How many times have you seen that lately? And she goes, like, 5 times during the Obama administration. And
oh,
he just stopped.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and she just fucking read it.
And I like
she
what
does
she tells
that all
guests.
The time.
Do you know my background?
Yeah.
Well, I like when she fact
she
checks.
She can be
guests.
A real bitch.
Yeah.
But I.
Yeah.
But not a bitch.
No.
She's a woman. She need to be mansplained.
No, but I love it.
Bitches get stuff done. I'm in favor of being a bitch.
People forget they come from a financial background and they come on the show. They try to spout out.
Oh, I know. Of course
they try to spout out statistics about stuff and economy things.
I just hashtagged this bitch, but you before you didn't comment on. I'm sorry, Clayton.
It's over. My point is moot. Apparently.
No.
No. What? Say, I'm sorry. Clayton, say it again. I didn't hear it.
Oh, well, I'll listen.
It's moo. It's like a cow's opinion.
It's like a cow's opinion. It's moo.
It doesn't matter.
It's
moot. Moot point.
So, Clayton, have you ever watched, and I love when she does this.
I like how you tell me to go ahead with my point, and then you just keep talking.
No, I want
to
hear it. I thought you had moved on, but what?
No, all I was saying was that people forget their financial background. They come on
absolutely.
All the time and just think that they're just, no. You know, some reporter and just asking softball questions, and they're like, do you realize that we come from a financial?
I couldn't agree more.
I love when they just stop people and they're like, "Oh, well, apparently my answer is not going to work because I rehearsed this answer."
Yeah,
and then they realize no, because they.
And
got
I
facts.
Think that's sort of the bane of like cable news is people go on. There's so many shows, and so people go on every, and so they don't even the people that are on there don't even know who the like what the host is about.
Right.
So that's why
background.
I love that you just said that.
And the one
is they get clocked
on that same topic. Nicole Wallace, our favorite person in the world, is when she's like worked in the White House.
Exactly, I love when she does that.
We fucked up,
and
this whole weekend, she's like, "We fucked up."
Did you watch
up.
Her this week?
I know.
Oh my God, she talked about with this whole Kavanaugh thing being actually in the Bush White House, and like, I love when she does that. She's like, "I'm sorry, we were in the Bush White House
with
when
him.
This thing was happening."
Yeah, I love when she does.
Oh,
that.
I know.
But with him because he was.
No, she knows him.
Yeah, she
knows said
him.
He's a good friend of hers. She said, I know his family, like this whole thing. And this was just last night. And then she said, but we have to listen to this.
Yeah.
To the victims.
Because he has
allegations.
A Kavanaugh has a friend. He may be the one that's named in this story.
It's the eyewitness that was in the room. That
exactly.
She's
out.
But one of his friends, if it's not the same person, and I don't know if it's the same person. I haven't vetted the story. He has a friend who wrote a book about all their drunken times.
It is the same friend.
Yes.
The same person.
And all of his alcoholic binges.
All the alcoholic binges, all the things they got away with.
He's in recovery, by the way.
Yeah. Has a very famous book that he wrote about their times together. Mm. And now he's like, I don't remember that time. But your book talks about a lot of shitty behavior.
Oh.
And how did you make it through without being dead or in prison?
Right.
Like, so, the whole theme.
So
the
when
book,
he was saying about Kavanaugh was making the claim, I wasn't there or whatever.
Mark Judge is the
people
man.
Are, yeah. People are using Judge's book as testimony to say, how would you know you were fucked up the whole time?
Yeah, the whole time.
Yeah, how would you know where you were?
If I'm not mistaken, he's the one that won't testify, or he's like, I won't.
Yeah, he doesn't want to have anything to do with it now.
Because he doesn't remember.
But you'd sell more books.
So, Clayton, when you, the next time you're watching Ruhle, she does this. I love when she does this. And it's a kind of a power move. I think it's a definite.
Turn?
Yes. You know, so it's a definite like alpha thing that she does. So instead of being like a lot of women are, no, you'll love it. Mm. So instead of like being very like which Nicole Wallace is very careful about how she is. Ruler, she'll just do one of these. She'll just say, and she'll get her pen out while she's clocking someone.
Right.
And then she'll just sit back.
Right, just giving you a line.
It's totally informal, and you shouldn't do it on TV, but she doesn't
I'm
fucking
have to
care.
I'm going to start doing that.
No. Yeah. She does that. She's like, oh.
You do it already.
She just takes it, and she takes it.
Here's what I
want to
ask you. And then she goes like this. You know, like, she does. I swear to God, she does. It's the funniest, amazing
I feel like
thing.
Maybe not like that.
Well, no, but she does this turn that looks
she
like,
does.
That
right.
looks like I'm going to take the female role.
Right,
and
exactly.
I'm going to, like, you're going
to cross my legs. Right.
You're
and then she
something.
Assassinates you.
And, oh my God, and she comes back. Yeah. Oh.
It's so good.
It's like, she's a delight.
You know what? Do you have DVR technology?
I do not, but I have all of the internet.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, just record it and fast forward through the boring parts until you just get to that part and watch that. But
because
you could probably just
after you marry and divorce and have a happy relationship with, what's her butt, Anna Kendrick.
Oh, my gosh.
And then Nicole
That's
Wallace.
That's going to be lovely.
Ex-wife number four is clearly going to be Stephanie Ruhle because.
Yes. I'm going to have to do my homework. I have some videos already.
Oh,
it's
so good.
Up.
That is so funny that
I know.
Pick up on
I
that,
did.
That body language. Like, her body language
I
is love.
I love her body language. And I love that you love Nicole Wallace as much as I do.
Oh, I found her on The View. And when they fired her,
same,
I'm like,
same.
I don't care that she doesn't know who the Kardashians are.
Yeah.
I don't know who they are.
Exactly.
All right, so my story. Let's go real quick.
Okay.
I might have lost it. Here it is. So, a Canadian pot shop employee may have just experienced the ultimate bong hit.
Oh my God!
I dare you. Who can
I'm
do?
Very excited.
Who has the lung capacity for bongs anymore? He used the marijuana smoking apparatus to fight off three robbers who were brandishing canisters of beer spray. This is a crime.
Are you kidding?
Canadians are so weird because they
Wait,
don't have guns.
Is that a typo?
Yeah, no, it's true. Let me put on my
beer
glasses.
Beer spray.
Oh, I'm so sorry. My apologies.
Maybe it's deer spray.
Bear spray.
Bear spray. Okay.
Bear.
Deer.
Thank you for your concern during this trying time.
This feels more.
And yet, it was caught on video. Thank you for asking.
Because bear spray is basically pepper
Clayton,
spray. Like
I see
you're
what
supposed
you're looking
to spray up. It at the bear to deter the attack.
I bring it every year to the P town. Still not used.
Still haven't attracted any
not
bears.
Not used. No.
The attempted robbery occurred last Thursday. Who knows what week we're talking about? Afternoon in the recreational cannabis farmers market in Shannonville, Ontario, when three men entered the store with their faces covered. The robbers sprayed bear mace on two store employees, a man and a woman, but the male clerk didn't let that stop him from protecting the merchandise.
Attaboy.
Surveillance video shows the clerk grabbing a bong and using it as a weapon, brandishing, if you will.
Thank you for the reenactment.
Quit
I
using bongs as a weapon. There you go.
Sure. It seems like something out of a Cheech and Chong movie, but it worked, according to this Facebook
Dave's
post.
Dave's not here, man.
From the Tyendinaga Police Service, do never underestimate my ability to pronounce Native American
names. Tyendinaga.
Never, ever.
It's beautiful.
The traditional spelling, of course.
The robbers, wow. Their brothers, the lobbers, left the store without any merchandise and fled in a white SUV.
Lobbers.
Oh.
Officials are still looking for the would-be thieves. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Tyendinaga Police Service at 613-967-3888.
3888.
The complete video can be seen on the website I'm looking at, which I will not share with you all, so you'll just have to wonder.
Cheers. Oh.
Good luck to you.
Best story.
The next thing is marijuana porn. How am I not going to look at that?
Wait a minute.
I'm not made of stone.
That's a thing?
See Gallery.
Porn. Didn't we do vampire porn recently?
Yes.
I did. Now, I do have to confess. I will. May I digress for just a moment? May I just take a minute of your time?
Before I get to my stories. Yes, I can. I can't find it specifically because it's a whole interview. I know exactly where
it is. No digressions.
We'll find it someday, though.
Or may not.
Are you talking about the financial guy? Because I just had it.
Ben, at a doctor's office, enjoying local artwork. You know, you've all been there.
Like you do.
Yes, like you do.
You're looking at someone's art on the wall, and you thought, what mentally suppressed third grader drew that piece of shit?
I don't get
when
art.
You're looking at Highlights magazine?
I was.
Okay.
And so I said to the doctor, I'm like, that's kind of pretty for doctor art. Like, usually it's garbage. And he goes, it's a photo of the marijuana plant. And I was like,
oh.
Oh, yeah, it is.
You had some bias going into this one.
But it was so colorful. I mean, I think I've seen like one marijuana plant in my entire life. Maybe two. A plant, like the actual plant. Now I've seen pot.
I have the same reaction Clayton's having to
but
this
But the
one.
Actual, like...
Usually they come in gummy bears. Settle down.
Right. Oh, okay.
They're edibles. I'm sorry.
I'm used to seeing them ground up and rolled in paper.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen them outside of their disguise, the actual flower, in person.
Actually,
and even the smoking of the pot is going by the wayside. It really is a lot of edibles and a lot of vaping and a lot of
the like. So if you're dating somebody who has a big thing about 7/10, it's not just Tim DePlanche's birthday.
A big thing.
It's the 420 of vaping.
Interesting.
Oh.
Because upside down, it's oil. 7/10, if you didn't remember how they used to spell oil.
Yes,
on your calculator.
That was a really funny meme a long time ago,
You thought you were so clever when you spelled out
and
shell
boobs.
Oil. Boobs on your calculator.
808.
Five.
Or 808-7355
I was told there'd be no
boobless.
Math.
Boobless.
Well,
boobless. Boobless.
Nancy Reagan, thanks you. Oh! Titless wonder.
Titless wonder.
Titless wonder.
Oh, Nancy.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Champagne What's just happened? Makes everything
it's,
better.
It is
everything.
A lot better.
What are we talking about now? What's next?
Oh, well, I'm going to tell you something here.
Okay,
well,
tell me something.
Tell
me something.
My favorite song of all time.
Fair.
Yeah,
that's a good favorite song.
Oh, God.
And what's
so
your friend's
good.
Name that we saw at the Cobalt the one night that I know from Tower Records? Remember we saw him and you told me he used to work at Tower Records a million jobs ago?
Oh, Jax. Jackson Kelly.
Jackson Kelly.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. So the one day, because they would, everybody at Virgin Records at the Tempe place, the kind of ghetto.
Tempe Town Marketplace?
Nope.
No.
Arizona Mills.
Arizona Mills. At the Tower Records, where I used to frequent, I walked in and... What's his name?
Jackson.
Was kind enough to play a little something for me because they
like
knew.
Like Mad Libs of Al's story.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They knew that Mama likes to go in and shop and enjoy some music.
Like you do.
And so he puts on Tell Me Something Good.
Chocolate Coming.
Wow. Love that song.
And so.
I love that song.
Slowly you can hear him singing from the counter and me singing back from like the R&B rack.
Where you belong.
And one of the younger employees at the time, who's now 60, was like, hands in the air, step away from the Chaka Khan record. Like, like the whole store was not in the mood for a Chaka Khan sing-along. But I'm like, no, we're going to do it. But it was just so funny as him and I found each other through the store as we're like working our way up, dancing along.
Tell me before, that you love me.
Before
yeah.
And Chaka Khan at Aretha's, one of her funerals, but she sold
the
that.
The 8-hour one.
Yeah, yeah. But she was selling that.
It's still going on.
It is still going.
Just like that one drag show.
I'm
going to
attend tomorrow.
All right.
Before I get Clayton. To the last two stories I have, I was going to play this clip that you found. I
You're watching. Talking a lot.
I don't know why I couldn't find it that easy. I looked and looked.
I'm a magic Googler.
There you go. So anyway, this
She's
is
She's queen of Google.
This is the Stephanie Rule segment we're talking about where she shuts down the guy with GDP.
Oh my God, I'm so happy right now.
It. Are we turning around? 4% GDP. When's the last time you heard 4% GDP growth?
5 times during the Obama administration.
Are we turning around? 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 4% GDP. When's the last time you heard 4% GDP growth?
5 times during the Obama administration.
I love her.
I didn't realize it was a remix. That's even better.
I didn't vet it at all.
With a little Tell Me Something Good. I'll make it a review. It's the best song.
Oh, my gosh.
Because there's a chance.
I thought we just sang it.
There's a chance that Anant is not aware of
Oh, my gosh. Anant, how do you not know Chaka Khan?
So,
there's a chance. Chaka Khan.
Chaka Khan.
Let me reconcile. I want to do.
All right. So, a tiny Missouri town launched a newspaper dubbed the...
God, is it still your turn?
All right, two more. We're going to go to you in moments.
It is.
Did you unplug? You unplugged
she licked it. She
you
licked it again.
Push the plug.
Push the plug in the side there.
I'm pretty sure you.
Oh.
No.
I hear a hum. Try now.
Hello. What, no. did you,
oh my
what
gosh.
In the fuck did you do?
I don't know. It's okay.
How
don't
is
worry
it?
About it.
Oh, no, we have to. It's a radio show. Did you reboot it?
Is it currently plugged in? Count to 10. Count to 10.
How is it?
How about now?
Now
well, it's no. What's weird is it's registering on the board.
Is
oh wait,
it?
wait. Did I hit something?
Did you mute him?
Oh yeah, try it out.
Try
now. There you go. Passive aggressive.
I accidentally muted you.
You fucking bitch.
In the flurry.
He was aiming for me.
Yeah. He pushed the wrong button.
No, this is a story.
Turned your mic off.
All right, listen up.
This is the story that I teased about. Support your local newspapers no matter what the name of the newspaper
is. I concur.
A tiny Missouri town launched a newspaper dubbed the Uranus Examiner. And locals say the name.
Aren't we all kind of a Uranus Examiner?
Locals say the name really stinks.
You know, I'm more of a boob man myself.
Uranus is the eastern Missouri town's official name, but the mayor of the neighboring city has threatened to boycott the weekly paper over the crappy imagery, according to local station.
The Hog Lagoon.
KY3.
Feces and shit was a
it's
whole thing
tonight.
The
Hog Lagoon of newspaper titles.
Now, according to Waynesville, Missouri Mayor Luge Hardman.
Oh.
He says,
Lugie. Sometimes he goes by Lugie.
Lugie Hardon.
Quoting him, no, I'm sorry, but the innuendo that title puts the city up for public ridicule is just unacceptable.
Unacceptable.
He was at a Chamber of Commerce meeting where the paper was unveiled. And some of the residents feared that they'd become the butt of an international joke. The name does not indicate
too late.
The name does not indicate a serious newspaper, said Daryl Todd, owner of the nearby Pulaski County Daily News.
Oh, no.
But the paper is a credible free news source that shouldn't get a bum rap. Man,
so many butt
puns. According to Natalie Sanders, who is the managing editor, and she told the Springfield News Leader. I know KY3 is a station out of Springfield.
KY.
Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Three.
Mm-hmm. It's a serious newspaper adding Uranus's new rag will make a splash. No one's going to forget this name, she says.
Shock and awe in Uranus.
Yeah.
She hopes to fill the void in local news coverage by sending it out to 15,000 people living in Uranus.
Filling the void in your Uranus for a good long time.
She's not backing down over the backside controversy, she says. I'm sorry, but we're not changing the name.
Nope.
The Uranus Examiner was unveiled at the Chamber of Commerce luncheon on Wednesday after the area's local main paper, Waynesville Daily Guide, was shut down. Uranus has a population of just 25.
Of course, is
a destination for offbeat roadside attractions.
And roadkill.
My 25.
It has a fudge factory,
oh,
a tattoo parlor, and an indoor axe throwing facility called the Uranus Axe Hole.
Oh. How the population 25? How do they have a fudge parlor?
Okay,
this is why she's a virgin.
Right.
Welcome
milk,
to my fudge
milk
parlor.
Lemonade, around the corner, fudge is made.
Wait, Al, what were you saying?
This is why her rape bristles never been used.
Fergie sang a whole song about
Welcome
it.
Welcome to my fudge parlor.
What do?
Just sit there.
What do toilet papers
are in the next room?
Fudge factory. What the fuck?
What?
How do you have that if there's only 25 people?
They all pack fudge.
I don't know. They all work there.
So I mean, when you
reports the news, 24 of them pack fudge.
When you have a town of 25 people in general, are you like, oh, I bet they have a fudge factory?
Well, what else are they gonna do at Uranus? In Uranus,
just knock.
What do toilet paper and the Starship Enterprise have in common?
I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
They both circle Uranus in search of Klingons.
That's great.
Okay. Only this made that funny.
I'm only laughing
because of the good people.
I don't care. It had to be
Corbell.
That joke had to be told.
It did.
Right now.
Right now.
Yes.
Well, let's move on to
time sensitive material.
Great
news.
Right now.
Let's move on to another.
Do you have another story?
I have one more short story. Everybody else took
somebody
up the
line.
That's right. We have all the time in the world.
We got off on all kinds of tangents during
the
headlines.
But I like it.
Allegedly, it's your show.
Listening back, this is going to be stimulating. I'm going to tell you. Alone in a bar.
My Uranus currently stimulated. Well, no, that was last week when I had to run out of the room. That was ugly.
Well, something to wash your Uranus off with. Yellowstone National Park officials have ticketed a man caught on... Wait for it.
It's too late.
Wait for it.
Damn it.
Wait for it. So, Yellowstone National Park officials have ticketed a man caught on video wandering close to Old Faithful, where he risked burns from the boiling hot water that erupts every hour or so.
Mm-hmm. Same story.
The man's actions between eruptions startled a crowd of a couple hundred people at the park's most famous attraction. At one point, he lay on the ground near the gurgling hole.
No.
Yes.
No.
Quote, a bunch of the crowd...
I had a nickel.
You'd still have the nickel.
Still waiting for that nickel.
I'm going to tell you a punchline during the break here in a second that was very fucking funny. Not from this story, though.
Okay.
A bunch of the crowd thought he was going to jump. We didn't know what it was going to happen, said Ashley Lamonsky of Harbor Beach, Michigan, who shot the video on Friday of the man. The man appeared to urinate on the geyser while a park ranger repeatedly yelled at him to get to safety. Rangers caught up with him after he eventually walked back onto nearby boardwalks, Lamansky said.
How would you describe the burning sensation in your penis while you were urinating?
Rangers cited him with walking off the boardwalks in a thermal area. Yellowstone spokesman Neil Herbert said Monday, Herbert didn't have the man's identity. Just like Yellowstone's wildlife and majestic scenery, tourists behaving badly have become a target for cameras. A man captured on video harassing a bison in Yellowstone in August was sentenced to over 4 months in jail for the incident and other drunken behavior in nearby Grand Teton National Park. If the man at Old Faithful relieved himself on the feature, he wasn't the first. Two seasonal park workers were fired after being caught on a webcam urinating on the geyser.
Isn't there an urge, though, to pee into the geyser?
Yes.
Come on.
You have to be careful of blowback.
Yeah.
Especially in your
That's
anus.
True in any story.
Yes.
Well, yeah. That's...
Oh, my God. But then he lays down on the ground right next to it. What the hell is he doing? I'm watching the video.
Oh!
What the fuck is he doing?
I like a picture.
Now live from the geyser.
I watched him pee on the thing, and now he laid down. Now he's standing back up. What the fuck is he doing?
He's a superhero.
What a weirdo.
He's crazy!
What a weirdo.
He's the true hero.
Yeah, he's the true hero.
Maybe he has to go again. Are you going to pee again, sir?
He's a one-shot wonder. All right, we're going to do this now.
What killed Roseanne?
Oh, I love this one.
Finger on the pulse. It's quite topical for us. We're going to have some Emmy Award winners. We're going to have a movie suggestion. I feel like there's things that I put in my Google thing to look up.
I'll help you.
We're going to talk about Oprah Jackass because it's funny.
Oh, my God.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus is back and working. God bless her, making the world happy. Let's Emmys. That's just
good. Of course, it's good.
Of course, it's good.
It's good. All right, kids. It's hour three coming up just seconds away. Please stay with us. We're going to get more champagne.
Hey, girl. You okay?
You're listening to Q Talk America.